Welcome to Voicing Startups, where I, Colin Bournes, interview founders and operators changing the world through audio, voice, and conversational technology. This week on the Voicing Startups podcast, I am talking with Bruce, co-founder and CEO of AgVoice. AgVoice is designed for use across the food and agricultural ecosystem, including livestock and crop production, agronomy, animal health and wellness, and machinery repair. By using proprietary analytics and conversational AI, users can improve productivity and workflow management, increase documentation accuracy, and gain valuable insights to optimize the use of resources in crop and animal production. Ultimately, this results in more sustainable farm practices, as well as more efficient, traceable, and accurate reporting from professionals and producers. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Voicing Startups. Hey, Bruce, thank you for coming on the Voicing Startups podcast.
Thanks, Colin.
Can we start with a quick background of yourself?
Sure. I grew up in the Midwest in Missouri, and I actually grew up on a farm. That's actually germane to our discussion and story here today. But when I was in college, got the technology bug, ended up spending a little more than 15 years at IBM after that in product management and so forth, and loved the space. But mid-career, decided I wanted to merge my background in agriculture with technology. And the background there is in growing up on a farm, that and the family farm have now evolved to be about 10,000 acres of corn, beans, wheat, cattle, hay, and so forth near Kansas City. And also a family owns an apple orchard of 40,000 apple trees. So the short version is I have a lot of bag background. And we kind of combine those two areas together in a unique digital way with a novel voice technology, which brought us to where we are today.
Yeah, so if you give sort of like a 2-minute or your elevator pitch of AgVoice and then why you ultimately started the company, I think that'd be a good next step.
Perfect. Yeah, so AgVoice is a voice-to-data platform designed for food and agriculture professionals that allows them to do fast and accurate data capture and analytics on the go. So the problem that our customers have, and these are some of the largest food and agriculture companies in the U.S. and in the world, many of them mostly initially in fruits, vegetable, and dairy production, is that they have specialists that are with the plants and animals every day, Colin, and they already have hands-on jobs. They have a lot to do. They're very busy. But anytime they would administer, say, either a medicine to animal or some chemical or fertilizer to a plant, increasingly by law, they must track all those things so they can prove that food is grown in a safe and environmentally responsible way. Well, the challenge is they're very busy, they're on the go, they already have hands-on jobs. And so voice has become really the perfect solution in their feedback to us of how they'd like to solve this problem. And we create a unique way to deliver a service that they can use that while on the go, recognizing very specifically their industry-specific terms, unlike general-purpose consumer services.
Yeah, and then how did you come up with that sort of idea or see that opportunity?
Part of it was just kind of intuition. I actually worked for one of the major seed and chemical companies during one summer during college. The other side of it was I had multiple summers on the farm during high school and college. And I just kind of knew intuitively these were extremely hands-on jobs. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of a folly. Imagine agriculture and you would not be able to use either of your hands, right? I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's very hands-on intense, kind of like a construction, logistics, warehousing work, or to hire in, say, doctors and nurses, a very hands-on task. In addition to that, Colin, I saw that there was this massive pain point that was growing for the demand for information by consumers. Natural, you know, healthy questions. How's my food grown? Is it grown in a safe and environmentally responsible way? And can you prove it? And that was one of the gaps. The second gap was the way to solve this was people either kept records kind of in their head. That's the old way. That's the oldest way. There's a lot of pen and paper and tablets in the industry, or pen and paper, you know, checklists. quite a few tablets, and those are quite popular with agronomists or plant inspectors and so forth. But the challenge is calling that then consumed, you know, one or two hands again, right? And so basically they're ideal to us over and over again. And to answer your question directly, I was the first person to get a hold of smart glasses and then test them out in agriculture globally. And I knew that. It was actually part of the Google Glass program. By the way, they did the closed beta. I knew that I had this kind of unique opportunity to learn and learn first. But the short version is that those devices weren't ready for the mainstream. So, but we found so many, just hundreds and even thousands of discussions of people that had this problem so pervasively, we backed up and found a unique way to solve it with a combination of our service, smartphones, and then some really interesting wearables that we leveraged it.
And are you guys, or what's really the business model with AgVoice and your target customer? Are you selling to sort of like the, what people think of as like your everyday farmer, or who's really the target customer for this product?
All right. Our most common question. Initially, we're not starting with the farmer at all. And that's what 90% of us think of, right? A guy in a bib overalls, pitchfork, and a cow, right? Mm-hmm. We're actually starting at the other end of the spectrum. We have some fascinating customers. Some of them are actually the major grocers here in the United States that have their own organic farms, as an example. A lot of people can relate to that very well. And even they want to track the stewardship of how they care for the apple trees, the fruits, the vegetables, and so forth. And they just want to do it in an easier way. And they also want to share their practices with their grower, or what's called farmer network, right? In an easy, safe, you know, trusted environment. Basically, you know, sharing best practices, learning together. How do we do this better? How do we do it in a more organic way? Here's a new variety of a seed. How do we best grow this in our climate, in our soil, things like that? So increasingly documenting those things, like any other industry, is just becoming more and more digital all the time. Basically, in doing that, to answer your question directly, we target those enterprises, and they usually have a group of in-house specialists in plants or animals, and they already have been trying to capture records in many ways. We've actually, fun factor you might like, we've found 11 different corporations, some of the largest in the world, in agriculture that have attempted to solve this with the voice in the past, and they've all failed. And we've cracked the nut. It's taken us a while. It's been hard as could be, but we've figured out how to do it. And so we have really, really high interest in them. And very directly, then it's an enterprise license from there. And then from there, they kind of influence their network as our idea. In time, going out broader to other supporters within the supply chain, ultimately to farmers as well.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And in this sort of beginning of this discussion, you've outlined a few different problems that these sort of enterprises are running into. How would you describe really the problem that you're solving and the key value proposition of AgVoice?
Sure. I'll kind of start with it in a digital way first, because that's horizontal and hopefully everyone can relate to that. These large enterprises are actually implementing data science platforms, and they have an amazing amount of data and information they can learn. Let's just say in the case of plants, and let's say it's about fruits and vegetables and growing them better. And let's get very specific. Why should we, as every individual, care about this? Why should we care about agriculture at all? And that is, these fruits and vegetables can be grown for better shelf life. They can be grown for better taste. They can be grown, very importantly, for better or different nutritional value. And some of those are extremely important in emerging markets, where they need to, you know, continue to get more efficient, more bountiful harvest and healthier foods for their people. And so the net of this is a data play end to end. The challenge is, and they may have a lot of that data from, say, genetics. They may have it from phenotypic data, which is a visual inspection or phenotyping. But the challenge is, over and over and over again, Colin, they've come back to us and said, but we can't get our people in the field to put the data in the system, or it's in pen and paper. I met with an agronomist a couple years ago, and she said, I have all my records. And she showed me a picture of her office, and it was a set of file cabinets with her 40 years of pen and paper records sitting on top of the file cabinet. So she's absolutely an expert in her domain, but isn't able to leverage new technology to make better decisions, leveraging the benefits of data science to grow things in a better and more efficient way and track those. So that's we fill a piece in that puzzle that these customers over and over again want to solve and haven't found any other way to solve it. And that's why voice is so magical to them. And that's what gets us excited.
Yeah. Now I definitely want to dig into the actual product itself and really the user experience. So obviously it's hard using just audio to kind of explain this experience, but the best that you can, could you kind of walk through what the user experience is leveraging? Because I know that there's hardware involved, there's an app involved, and then obviously the voice component. Could you just walk us through that entire experience?
Sure. Colin, let's start with the constraints because they're pretty wacky. Effectively, the problem we're trying to solve these users and these customers is not something that can be solved with current consumer services like, say, Siri, Google, or Alexa, which are great services in and of themselves, but are horizontal consumer-level services usually designed in a conversational way, right? In our case, these intense data collectors, these first users, their constraints are pretty wild. First of all, they're often outdoors, sometimes with noisy, intermittent background noises in the background. I mean, it could be tractors, machinery, in the case of, say, dairy cows in the dairy barn. I was shocked. There's water, there's metal, there's cows, there's mooing, there can be a lot of noise, specifically in the summer and stuff when there's a lot of activity. So that's one piece. There can be high and intermittent noise. That's number one. Two is they have industry-specific terms they want to solve for. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's say as a consumer, you and I are going to a local great grocery store. Let's say it's something awesome like a Whole Foods, right? And we or we take some produce home and we've let it stay on our counter too long at home, and in time a fruit can go bad, right? Say it has something called a gray mold, right? And that's what we may know as consumers, and then, oh, it's bad, we need to throw that out. Well, the plant specialist that produced strawberries at places like Driscoll's and other great brands, that scientific name is Botrytis cinerea. Well, that's the kind of term they want us to recognize. And so it's those kind of specific things, or names of medicines or plants or diseases or things like that, that we need to recognize when we do train our system for. There's more. Next, the many voice services are good enough, right? They work in usually, say, 93-97% accuracy kind of range. In our case, our first users, all they want is it to be 100% accurate every time, right? So they're doing scientific level of validation accuracy. So we do a validation step. We give them an audio feedback of what they just said in the record they're filling out. And then, Colin, if it's not right, then they can override it with a voice command again, or the voice terminology, or they can manually look at it and touch it on the screen, change it with the GUI. But the essence of it is they have the confidence that they can get to a 100% accurate certified record on the spot when they're in the context of, say, the plants or the animals. But wait, there's more. They have hands-on jobs, right? And the whole idea here is they want the freedom to work with their hands, right, and go fast. And so the kind of final piece two final things I mentioned, sorry. One of them is their ideal is to leave their phone in their pocket, kind of the original idea of the iPod, right, 20 years ago. They want their phone mounted on their belt or, in their pocket or something like that. And so to accommodate that, Bluetooth can have its own challenges with data rate. So we actually use a SWAT team microphone. That it can cancel up to 40 decibel of background noise. It's a wired mic, but it's very simple, very lightweight. They can wear it all day and great battery life. And so the final piece of this set of constraints, it's quite a list, is that about 15% of the time, they either don't have internet connectivity or it's intermittent, or in some parts of the country or the world, it's too expensive. So what do I mean by that? Basically, their ideal is that the service would work on a phone or a tablet with no internet connectivity. And cloud connectivity would be optional. And that's been the hardest part. But we've solved for that, and we've solved for all these constraints. And that's why end-to-end, it's a novel experience that we found the users over and over again have told us they highly value.
And then, you know, you mentioned that this is geared towards specifically these commercial operations. And I still think that if you'd ask maybe like the everyday consumer, what even a commercial farm would sort of operate like, that you still might get a bunch of different ideas or question marks that pop into people's heads. So could you walk through maybe a use case or two of how it's actually used in different scenarios or different operations?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So let's go to a couple different examples. Let's think about organic fruits or vegetables. Okay. Increasingly, as that became more and more of a popular trend over the last, specifically the last 5 to 10 to 15 years is when it grew the most. Colin, sometimes the produce or the food wasn't grown to the ideal level standards, or frankly, the standards weren't very consistent or very explicit. Well, in the last just few years, 2, 3, 4 years, those rules have become quite explicit, and it's a pretty big laundry list of massive checklists that need to be met for someone to be a certified organic grower, right? And that's important for every consumer, right? Because when they buy a product with a certain promise of value, grown in a certain way, they want that certification and assurance that it was grown in that way, and they're paying that price or that premium, and it's worth it, right? It delivers the benefit that they perceive to themselves or their family for different reasons. If it's not grown that way and they paid for it, then that's fraud, right? So the basic point is there are very extensive organic rules now for practices about the proper way to grow those foods and then document them. And so that's one area that we would help. Say it would be agronomist. And agronomists are basically, not a common term, but they're basically specialists all around the country that support farmers and ranchers. They'll come out and do occasional inspections and make recommendations to if you will, farmers and growers. And so in addition to that, we do have some initial farmers that aren't absolutely testing our service and using it. So that's one example. So called organic fruit and veg. Another one is milk inspections. Milk, which would be used for either, of course, milk or cheese or any other related dairy products. In that case, once again, inspections have to be made of the dairy barns. Most importantly, there's a deep, deep care among society, for that matter, in animal welfare, right? Are those all those animals responsibly cared for? What are those standards and are they adhered to? So those kind of inspections, again, happen where people go through occasionally, or in some cases, certain workers go through daily to inspect their operation. So Colin, to bridge that to, you know, how would that be used more in the future? We'd like to make it more of a self-service scenario that could aid any dairy farmer, for that matter, anywhere in the world, because we're a digital platform. And then the final one I'll mention, it's a new one, an emerging one, but it's white hot, is things like medical marijuana or things like CBD. Once again, exact same theme. The standards there for record keeping are quite high, and people need to document and validate that they produce something in a safe way in adherence with the law and the standards. So basically all these kind of fit a common theme. There's quality inspections that are done. They need them quickly. These are people typically walking. They don't like to stop, which they'd have to do if they're using a classic checklist, say pen and paper.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'd be curious to know, just to kind of take those use cases maybe a step further. Have you guys done any sort of case studies or have any sort of stories or customer success examples that can maybe really show the value of this product versus the standardized way of going about it?
Sure. So one of my favorites is sweet corn, right? And the way sweet corn is inspected today is that two professionals, and in some cases these are like, you know, a college graduate with a bachelor's degree up through a PhD, okay, go to a field and one person husks the corn, literally eats it, tastes it, right, senses its, you know, how tender is it, what's its color, What's its, you know, what are the kernels like? What's its texture? Then they verbally call out and grade to the second person these different attributes. And frankly, some of them are very kind of cool and interesting, right? Certain types of color or different types of breeds they use for certain markets. Different towns, different states like have different tastes, right? There'll be types of strawberries or, you know, sweet corn or whatever. So I was shocked. There's lots of, sometimes hundreds of different kinds of varieties of these things. And so the essence of the use case is, well, the second person is there with a huge pen paper. It kind of looks like minor league baseball, big old sheet. And they're recording all these observations, right? Then one of those people later in the day has to go back to some office somewhere or find a computer and type up this information. And so the essence of that is two-person job today. It's trapped in pen and paper, takes them a lot of time, and their hands are tied up, right? Quickly, with AgVoice, the scenario is quite different. It can be a one-person job. The person can do their job hands-on with the crop. The recording system stays in their pocket. They can take everything digital instantly on the spot, and they are quickly moving throughout the field. So what are the results of that? One of our pilot studies, our customer numbers, is that they were able to speed up their inspections anywhere from 50 to 250% faster than the previous method. So effectively, inspections done in cut in half. And the way that they find that highly valuable, it's not just time. That means they can cover twice as many fields. They can certify more crops. They can help more farmers. In the case of, say, it's extension agents with universities around the country, usually land grant universities, that are there as government workers in support of farmers sharing best practices. Does that help?
Yeah. That was, I kind of had my own sort of idea of where the value would be. And that was pretty much what I was assuming. So yeah, I appreciate you walking us through that. In terms of defensibility and how you see the competitive landscape with your product, I'd be curious to know, how do you really differentiate yourself versus the competitors that you may have or that may pop up in the years to come?
Sure. This is always a fun one. So the short version is, our greatest competitor, which we are fearful of day in and day out, and they always undercut us in price, is pen and paper. It's very pervasive, and that little pen and paper company, Incorporated, keeps showing up everywhere we go. I say that in jest, but it's actually quite pervasive in not only agriculture, but many other related, you know, adjacent industrial sectors we've also had interest from, construction and things like that. The other one is, you know, tablets or even conventional apps. There's a lot of apps in the industry. You know, it just isn't one, illustration. A lot of people are like, well, but people in agriculture basically aren't that technical and they might not use something like this even in time. I recently read that 90% of the migrant workers in the United States that work in agriculture have a smartphone today. So there's pretty pervasive set of digital tools out there. The question is, are they optimized for the task and what these people are trying to do? In that case, it's usually, you know, not the case. We currently don't have any direct competitors that are doing exactly what we're doing. A couple of small firms in Europe do something somewhat like we're doing in our area. But to answer your question more directly, we think voice is a magic enabler and a gateway, but the greatest value is in the effects and the unique properties that a hands-free voice solution enables. In that case, it's better, more complete, more accurate, comprehensive data. And then out of that, that's the basis for our data analytics and trends. And so the other final piece of this, Colin, is that no one, this has been, you know, hard to do under the covers. This is not trivial. It hadn't been solved before that we'd seen generally in the world, at least in agriculture. There's some parallels here to what has happened successfully in healthcare, but that's a different model because there's more of a government incentive system there. And say they could afford to, say, have human transcriptionists. And in our case, we have a massive, massive industry. I'll explain the numbers in just a second. But it wouldn't lend itself to the expense of human transcriptionists, you know, remote or back in the office. So to finish that piece, basically it's the data analytics and the fact that we treat the data as owned by the customer. We're a steward of the data, and we give them smart intelligence analytics to make better decisions on that. That all those together are kind of unique elements by which we think it's we've seen can be a very popular service and a unique niche that we can carve out and lead.
Yeah, and then in terms of the product itself, how do you see it changing over, let's say, the next year, and then maybe the next 5 or 10 years ahead as well?
Ah, great question. So the first piece is, you know, nailing this first piece was the hardest part, right? It's this voice form fill. You're not looking at the form. Our ideal is that the user doesn't look at or touch the screen on their phone, right? It's a pretty high standard if you think about it. You're driving it all with commands and the content by voice. So it better be accurate, right? From there, you know, Food and Ag has, this is another type of, we think, competitive advantage. Food and Ag has a lot of diversity in it. You know, California in the U.S. is our largest agriculture state. There are 400 different types of crops in California alone. So we've got plenty of work to do working with our partners to build out and digitize these different crops or voiceify them, if you will. So that's kind of the near-term piece. We're currently at 16 different type of lexicons. And that's a wide range of fruits, vegetables, dairy, and some quality inspections. Many more to go after that. And then to answer your question of the longer term, again, voice is, we continue to be thrilled with the progress of different voice technologies. Some pieces we invent ourselves, other pieces we can leverage some select open source systems. We see pieces of those getting exponentially better. And so let's flip this around. This piece we've been talking about so far has been around voice capture. We see voice interaction or playback from natural language generation and smart, intelligent, precise reporting to be highly scalable, highly accurate, and very, very beneficial to any of the stakeholders in ag. That could be, of course, the people in the field. That could be the people supporting them, say, in the logistics chain, or the grocers and the restaurants and so forth that then serve the product to the consumers. Someday we could even enable consumer information, but we've kind of got our hands full before then. We have a lot of great partners to do that really well. So.
Yeah, and then to wrap up this interview, I like to ask this to everybody that comes on the show, but what really gets you excited about the overall voice space looking into the years ahead as well?
To me, I think it's the variety of solutions that are coming onto the market. There's such an array in both the consumer realm, the enterprise realm, and then what we're doing in this industrial space, that there is absolutely every week or every month something new to learn or something new to try or apply. And what that tells me, you know, one of the industry analysts, you know, kind of has a six diagram chart, and it kind of starts with smartphones and then goes to smart speakers. But then in his case, he illustrates, oh, and here's how it goes to audio. Here's our automobile. Sorry. Here's how it goes to, or any vehicle. Here's how it goes to entertainment. Here's how it can be embedded in the Internet of Things and so on. And so my basic point there is that helped me understand how broad and pervasive voice can be. You know, there's some very specific components, super highly accurate, like in our case, hyper-focused neural networks enable great technologies. And then frankly, some of the things like Alexa on microphones, you know, down to pennies on the dollar and, you know, the size of a dime, mean that there can be a wide array of great new practical applications for consumers, enterprise, and industry. So that's what excites me the most.
Yeah, super, super exciting. Excited to see how everything evolves over the years ahead. But thank you, Bruce, for coming on the show. Super interesting stuff. A lot of different things to reflect on and a lot of takeaways I can imagine for the listeners of the podcast. But for people that might be interested in maybe working with you or just generally following what you are up to, where's the best place for people to follow you?
Yep, quite simple. Ag voiceglobal.com. So it's AG, short for agriculture, voiceglobal.com. So pretty easy to find on the web. And actually out there, to your point earlier, there's a number of videos there of both dairy and fruit and plant inspection that people can see how do real people use this in the real world each day. That'll give them a great idea if they want to check that out. And they're just 1 minute video clips.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Bruce, for coming on the Voicing Startups podcast.
Great. Thanks, Colin.
This podcast is sponsored by VoicePunch VC. VoicePunch is a venture capital fund that is focused on voice-driven and voice-connected technology. So if you are a company or an entrepreneur that has a product that is in this sort of space, much like a lot of the different companies that I am interviewing, then you should reach out to the team by going to voicepunch.vc.